The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "Have you taken the Lord out of the tomb? And we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We're told here in John's Gospel that on the first day of the week, Mary went to the tomb. She was in grief. She was in mourning. She went there to grieve, maybe anoint Jesus some more if she could figure out how to roll the tomb away. But when she got there, she found that the stone had already been rolled away. And when she looked in, the body was gone. Her reaction was, somebody stolen the body. You know, and I guess that raises the question, why was that her first reaction? Jesus had told his disciples and had told her, through the disciples, I suppose, that he would be raised on the third day. Scriptures had predicted that the Savior would rise from the dead on the third day. And yet, her reaction is, they have taken Jesus. Somebody has stolen the body. I guess to understand that, you've got to understand some of the background and maybe even some of the days preceding this day that we read this gospel. Jesus had numerous friends, and he had friends that were closer and friends and followers who were a little bit further away or a little bit more distance. In that very inner circle, there were three. There were three disciples. There were Peter, James, and John. And we hear different stories where Jesus took Peter, James, and John, such as on the Mount of Transfiguration, or when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, he took them aside. And so Peter, James, and John are the closest disciples of Jesus. But then you do have the 12. The 12 disciples that Jesus called to come and follow him. And they traveled with him for 3 years. They were with Jesus. They were there with the miracles. They were there with the healings. They were there as he spoke to the people, as he preached, and as he taught. And other times when he had them alone, he would teach them as well then too. And so that was that inner circle. But then there were also another group of followers around Jesus. Faithful people who believed that Jesus was the Christ, that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God. He was the one whom Scripture had predicted would be coming as Savior. They believed that, and in many places, a number of these people show up. You have the different Marys, Mary Magdalene, you have Mary, the mother of Clopas, you have Mary, the mother of Jesus, are mentioned a number of times, and you have other followers as well then too, such as Bartimaeus, Matthias, Clopas, and so other people are mentioned as well then too. In Acts, during that story of Pentecost, it said that there were 120 gathered together, the faithful group of followers of Jesus. And so you have this other group around Jesus. And a lot of times they would follow around with Jesus, or at other times then they would open their homes up to Jesus as he traveled from place to place, and they would feed him and provide a place for him and the disciples to stay and to sleep, or maybe use as a home base as they were doing ministry within that town. They would help support his ministry many times too. Maybe they were out there as Jesus was teaching or ministering to people. They were helping to usher people around, or maybe simply just talking with people, getting in those private conversations, getting into some of the deep conversations with some of the people who had always gathered around Jesus. And so they were there to help support. They believed wholeheartedly that, yes, this was the real deal. This was the Messiah that Scripture had been predicting would be coming. They were faithful followers. And Mary Magdalene was one of these. And so Jesus knew them personally, and they knew him intimately. They'd had conversations, or maybe Jesus had touched their lives in a very personal way. So they knew who Jesus was. John's Gospel also tells us that many of these followers, particularly the women, had come down into Jerusalem with him as they came to celebrate the Passover feast. It even says that they were there around the cross when Jesus was crucified. And so I'm sure that Mary was probably one of those who helped take Jesus down from the cross, that she was there to put the ointments and the spices on his body after he had died, and to wrap him up in the burial cloths, and then also helped to put him in that grave. She had seen that dead, lifeless body. She knew that Jesus was dead, that he died on that cross. But there were other things playing into this as well then too. That week before Easter was a roller coaster ride. If you remember, 1 week before this gospel lesson takes place was what we know of as Palm Sunday. It was when Jesus entered Jerusalem for the last time. And the people were joyous. The people of Jerusalem were joyous. They were shouting, "Hosanna, the Savior comes. Hosanna to the God Most High. The Savior is here." And they welcomed him as they would welcome a king, a triumphant king coming into the city. And everyone was joyous. It was a parade. It was a celebration as he came in. And then each day of that week, Jesus would come into town. And he would go to the temple, into the temple courtyard, and there he would meet with people. He would talk with them, he would teach them, he would maybe preach a little bit and minister to people. And it was there in the temple courtyard that just about every day, Jesus was tested by the religious leaders. They always had a new trap for him, trying to discredit him in front of the people. But those traps always turned around, and it made the religious leaders look like fools. They were angry. They were jealous. And so they plotted, and eventually then on Maundy Thursday, Jesus was arrested late that night. He was put on court in the early hours of the morning, and he was condemned. He was beaten. He was tortured. He was condemned to death to die on the cross, and he was hung on the cross, and he died. It was up and down during the week. Jesus coming in as a king. Jesus teaching the people. People flocking to him. The controversy. Also the Passover feast going on at the same time. And now he's dead. Mary's looking. Now he's dead. He's buried. And she's come to the tomb to grieve, to mourn, to make sense of this. Because it makes no sense to her at all. If he is the Messiah, the one who is sent from God, how can he die? How can his mission end like this? How can it just stop? He was only getting started very good. He was getting crowds. He was getting people around. And here he's dead. How will this ever continue? And then maybe she was second-guessing herself because she had thrown her life into this life of Jesus. She had followed him. She had supported him. She had given of her time and her efforts and her money to help Jesus in his ministry. And here he is dead. Was I a fool? Did I miscalculate? Did I misbelieve? She made no sense of it. And besides that, Jesus was just simply a friend to her as well, a close friend. And he's dead. She was there. She buried him. She helped. She knew he was dead. And now, as she comes to this tomb, the body is gone. Somebody has stolen that body. After all this, the trial, the stress, the beatings, the murder, somebody has the nerve to steal the body. It was too much for her. She had to run and tell the other disciples. So she runs and she finds Peter and John. And they don't have any idea what's going on here. So they have to check it out themselves. And so they run back to the tomb. John's a little faster than Peter, but John doesn't go in. He peeks in, but he doesn't go in. It's Peter, the brave and the bold one, who actually goes into the grave and checks it out. And then John goes in. And they both see that it's empty. They see that the tomb where Jesus lay, the bench where Jesus lay, where his dead body was laid, is laid out neatly. All the burial clothes are wrapped up and folded. And they can't figure that out. If somebody stole the body, surely they would have taken that, or else it would have just been helter-skelter in there. But it's all folded up. They have no idea. They just simply scratch their heads and they go back home again. And Mary still can't make any sense of it. She doesn't know what to do. And so she stays there and she just continues to weep. She is in grief. She is in mourning. She is in shock. She doesn't know what to make of it. And she does peek in once again. This time it's not empty. There's two angels sitting on the bench where they had laid Jesus. Now, in most stories in the Bible, when people see angels, they are either terrified or they are in awe of the angels. I mean, look at the story of when Jesus was born. The angels came and appeared to the shepherds out in the fields, and they were terrified. Or at other times, angels would appear to people, and they would say, "Do not be afraid." Or when angels came to see Abraham to announce that he would be the father of a son within a year, Abraham was in awe, and he quickly prepares a meal for them and caters to them. People are usually in awe or else they are terrified that they see angels. Here in our gospel lesson, it doesn't say that Mary is Either one of those things. Because I think she is so much in grief, she is so much in shock, that she just asks a simple question. She says, if you have taken the body away, please tell me where it is. And then she turns around and she sees someone else behind her. She doesn't know who it is. And so she asks him, thinking that he's the gardener, and says, sir, if you have taken the body away of Jesus, please let me know and I will take it. It's not until Jesus calls her by name. Jesus calls her by name. Jesus says, Mary. That's when she recognizes them. And that, for Mary, is a life-changing experience. All of her grief, all of her shock, all of her mourning suddenly just disappears. And she is overwhelmed with joy. She has a hard time believing it, but she does believe it wholeheartedly. She knows that this is Jesus. And Jesus has just called her by name. Her life has completely been turned around. It's in baptism. It's in baptism that Jesus calls us by name. Winland, child of God, you have been marked with the cross of Christ and sealed forever. It's in baptism. God calls us by name. Our life changes. Our life changes. No longer are we just simply another person, another mortal, a mere creation of God that will die here on this earth. No, we are made immortal because God calls us by name. We are given that promise of eternal life. We are tied to that cross. Our sins, our guilt is washed away in the blood of Christ. And we are tied to that resurrection, given that promise that we are reborn into Christ. This is a new life, a rebirth. We are made new in that baptism. We are called by name, just as Jesus said, Mary. And she recognized him. She knew who he was. In our baptisms, we receive the Holy Spirit. We receive that gift of faith and we know who God is. The embodiment of Jesus Christ. Our lives are changed forever. And we have that hope that we will live with God forever. Jesus also said something else to her too then. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father in heaven. We do hold on to Jesus. We hold on to him in faith, but we can't physically hold on to him because he is with the Heavenly Father. He has ascended into heaven. But Jesus, in saying this, is also saying, Mary, your life has changed. We can't go back to those days of ministry, of wandering around throughout Galilee or through the countryside. We're not going back to those days. We have a new mission going forward. We have something else to do going ahead. And you know what? Mary is the first one to carry out that mission. Because Mary is the one, the first one to proclaim, he is risen. I have seen the Lord. He is alive. Nobody stole his body. He is alive. She is the first one to carry out that mission, to proclaim the good news that Christ is alive. He has risen. He has risen indeed. The disciples finally catch on to that mission after Pentecost and then after Jesus ascends into heaven. Then they go out and they spread that good news. And because they have, we too still hear that good news. This is a product of Jesus rising from the dead, of Mary proclaiming that news, he is risen, I have seen the Lord. We are able to be here because the disciples did go out and tell that good news. That too is a gift to us. Not only receiving that good news, but it's a gift to us that we too have that opportunity to go out and proclaim, Christ is risen, and because he has risen, my life has been changed. I am a different person because of that. I live in hope. I live in peace. I live in the grace of God. I live in the love of God. Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.